And welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. A new study finding that parks around the Great Lakes, including Michigan's Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore and Sleeping Bear Dunes, are being affected by climate change. The Natural Resource Defense Council releasing a report. Tom Smarr, a staff attorney with the Defense Council's Chicago office, joins me now. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're talking about climate change impacting our own parks and lakeshores right here in Michigan. How is the climate changing the Great Lakes region?
Well, what we're seeing is that the effects of climate change are already happening in ways that we are starting to detect. If you look at Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore, our report looked at weather data over the last century and found that the average temperature in the last decade was 2.7 degrees Fahrenheit hotter than the average temperature during the 20th century. These impacts are projected to increase, and it's just a question now of, can we take enough actions in the short term to rein in those harmful impacts so that we don't see our most precious places like Pictured Rocks essentially disappearing from the impacts of a warmer climate and all of the other negative consequences that go with that.
Yeah, a 2.7% doesn't sound like an incredibly dramatic increase in temperature. What's the effect of this variance in temperature?
Well, in the short term, it may not be all that noticeable. As you said, two degrees, it becomes uncomfortable, but it doesn't become something that immediately manifests clear impacts. The problem is that over time, these impacts will start to become more and more pronounced. What our report does is it, for the first time, looks at some of these global climate models and applies them specifically to potential impacts on national parks in the Great Lakes region. And what it finds is that in a scenario where we do not take aggressive action to rein in our carbon pollution, temperatures throughout the Great Lakes region could go up by 8 degrees or more, and that would be like moving Florida's climate to southern Michigan or northwest Indiana. Those sort of larger term impacts over time will start to become more and more pronounced. Lake Michigan is projected that in the next decade or so, there will no longer be any ice cover. That will have significant impacts on the ecosystem. It will have tidal impacts that could cause additional erosion at some of these national parks, and it will cause changes to the trees that grow here and the wildlife that can survive here.
I see. Now, is there any indication that wildlife is now diminishing due to the temperature change?
Not in the short term. I mean, there are a number of these places that are threatened, but in the short term, it's much more a focus on we're starting to see these impacts, and it's becoming populations are starting to be degraded. The problem is that if we don't act now while we still can, these impacts will become more and more pronounced over time.
Now, what about the water temperature itself? When it comes to summertime, are we seeing a hotter water in the Great Lakes, and what's the potential impact of that?
Well, the potential impact of hotter water would be to have direct impacts on fish populations, and also it would promote the growth of those harmful algal blooms that we've seen throughout the Great Lakes in increasing amounts in recent years. That means lower oxygen in the lakes, which means fewer fish. It also means that there may be more days out of the year when it's just not safe to swim in the water at beaches because of the harmful algae that produce toxins that pollute the water.
Now, what's the range of time then that we've seen this, significant increase in the past 10 years or so?
It's been in the last 10 to 20 years that you've started to see these impacts of what we think is man-made climate change becoming manifest. Now, it's important to note that in this report, we did not do a specific analysis that can directly attribute specific temperature changes to human-caused climate change. But as these global models project, over time we will start to see this happen more and more, and those temperature increases eventually will become, if the models play out, undeniable that humans are in fact warming the climate, and that it's our emissions of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases that are the cause.
I mean, if that is the case, though, we're talking about a global issue. So what can really be done locally to impact this phenomenon if it's something that's happening worldwide?
It's something that requires action in our communities. We all have to think about how it is that we're using our natural resources, how we're getting our energy, and how we're even basic decisions like how we're getting our water and how much water we're using. Use of water has a significant impact on the total amount of energy that we use. And simple things like turning off the faucet while you're brushing your teeth over time, those kinds of very simple impacts that make better use of our resources add up into something very significant.
I'm talking to Tom Smar, a staff attorney with the Natural Resource Defense Council. You know, here in Michigan, we've got so many economic issues. The state government is focused on jobs, really. Is this really these types of environmental issues? Can you even envision that state officials would consider them important during a time like this?
Well, in the Great Lakes, these kinds of natural resources are critical economic engines. These parks themselves, the five Great Lakes National Parks we look at in this report, they get over 4 million visitors a year and generate hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue for the region. And this is drawing people from outside the region. It's also bringing jobs in terms of help supporting the fishing industry, supporting all of the other secondary industries that come from that. It's our natural resources in the Great Lakes are incredibly valuable, and they are the economic engines of the future.
You said the report doesn't actually specify the causation for the increase in temperature, so it doesn't actually say that carbon emissions are causing this phenomena.
Well, the data that's available can't pinpoint a specific change directly to specific carbon emissions. So, for example, as I mentioned, in Pictured Rocks, we found that the average temperature over the last decade is 2.7 degrees hotter than it was in the 20th century. And no one can say for certain at this point that that is directly caused by climate change. What it does, though, is it's another piece of information in a much larger pattern where you look at the global phenomenon of increasing temperatures and how global climate scientists are projecting that temperatures will continue to increase, and it's just consistent with that. It's consistent with what the scientists have been telling us for a number of years now, which is that if we don't take steps to reduce our carbon emissions, then the temperatures will continue to increase, and that will, over time, have significant impacts. It'll change the wildlife and the trees that can survive in our local climate, and it will have other negative impacts as well, such as creating drier summers and increased erosion at some of these national parks that rely on beaches like Pictured Rocks.
When you look at the Great Lakes region, back when it was a real industrial hub, you know, we were dumping all kinds of horrible things into the lakes, and in fact, there's been a real effort to clean up the lakes. If anything, it seems that we're doing less damage now than we ever did to the lakes. Do you acknowledge that?
It is true that we've made a lot of progress. And that's precisely because we've had laws in place, like the Clean Air Act, the Clean Water Act, that have required that companies and individuals take steps to reduce their overall pollution and their overall impact on the Great Lakes. The problem is that those laws are subject to challenge. And actually, right now, this week in Congress, there have been a number of lawmakers who have made efforts to roll back some of those basic provisions of the Clean Air Act and the Clean Water Act that have protected our health and our environment for decades. This is not something we can assume the job is done. There's still a lot of work to be done. And as these resources become restored, as the Great Lakes become more vibrant and cleaner, that adds to our economy because it creates more productive fisheries. It creates more valuable places for us to visit, which generates tourism revenue. So it's not just an environmental issue. It's an economic issue as well.
And when you look at the experience of tourists, how would tourists be affected in terms of being able to be in the water, to enjoy the shoreline and so on? Everything would still remain essentially the same on that level, wouldn't it?
Well, if there's increased erosion due to climate change, that could have significant impacts on some of the iconic natural features at these parks. So take Sleeping Bear Dunes, for example. If the iconic dunes of Sleeping Bear Dunes are no longer there because increased tidal action has swept them away, that would dramatically change the experience of a visitor going to those parks. We've come to rely on having these beautiful places as vacation spots, But this isn't just about those vacation spots. It's about the ability of the Great Lakes region to remain as an iconic natural landscape. And these are not just faraway places like the North Pole. These are places that we've all gone to our whole lives.
Tom Smar, a staff attorney with the Natural Resource Defense Council, joining me. Thank you for your time, Tom.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be back with more Capital City Recap. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.